Radio Verte presents Ahuga by Corey Zimmerman.
Little Bird Blues, Act 1. In one voice, her mama, since the day Neve was born, saying again and again, "It's important to keep things tidy, to show appreciation. We don't want to wear out our welcome. We got to be grateful to those who show a bit of mercy in life." In a second voice, "You take them wings and you sing them holy songs high, make them melodies and cry out to the top of your lungs, heaven and earth done become one." Swearing to the Almighty that Neve had come into this world an incredibly blessed soul, and that the day that she was born in Kaul, a thin sack that shielded her from the waiting evils of the world, that the hand of God himself peeled the veil from her face, opening her eyes to the world, to see just as the angels. "When life get tough," she would say, "and you find yourself weeping before them watchful eyes, and you can't move as you done turned to stone, just take a good look in the mirror, Neve, and you will see heaven." God gifted you that voice. God gave you them eyes. She repeated over the years. "1919, Chicago, Southside. More specifically, Bronzeville, a neighborhood the headlines referred to as the Black Ghetto, and even Darky Town, as the Great Migration had seen a recent surge of black Americans from the southern states. A red summer. It had begun when a 17-year-old black kid drowned at the beach after a white man stoned him for crossing the invisible race line and an utter lack of police response, coupled with the already growing tensions from the influx of black residents into the city, causing the black beachgoers to protest. As more police arrived at the beach, tensions worsened to the point that one black man fired a gun toward the coppers, who in turn shot him down. Upon hearing about the incidents at the beach, a mob of white men grabbed their guns and any sticks and stones they could get their hands on and rushed to Bronzeville, shooting up random houses and businesses, massacring any black person luckless enough to be caught out in the street. And this madness went on for well over a good dozen blood-soaked days. A good dozen blood-soaked days later, 1,000 black homes had been burnt to the ground. Neve, aka Little Bird, had been 13, maybe 14 at the time, when all this had gone down on the streets just off Harriet Stoop, where by winter, things had cooled off. Harriet owned the rooming house just off 47th Street in Southeast Bronzeville. For Harriet, keeping a boarder was an easy way to earn a bit of money while caring for her young ones, especially since her husband Earl passed away from typhoid. Harriet hadn't drunk a drop of city water since. For $1.67 a week, the third floor room in the narrow brick house included washing, a battered but cheering tiny mite of a stove, as Harriet called it, an equally battered wooden bedstead that creaked and groaned at every move on its thin mattress, a single chair with a mended leg, an evil smelly lamp with a wick not quite long enough, and an unsteady kitchen table. Simple comforts, no bureau. The wardrobe was a row of nails behind the door. Harriet had only one bathroom to offer, but at least it was on the second floor and not out back. To conserve the high cost of fuel, Harriet tacked up a sign that sternly read, "No more than one hot bath per week," although during the summer, hot water could be unavailable for months at a time. And come to find out, towels were often in short supply. Though Neve and her daddy were lucky enough to have a room with a washstand, a pitcher, and a bowl. A pitcher and a bowl that were inevitably cracked, but could carry water nonetheless. Harriet did her darndest to serve not only as a landlady and keeper of curfew, but as a surrogate mother for Neve, insisting the little one come in and knit with her three youngins crocheting inside the tenement house, where it was warm. But Neve refused. Neve, headstrong, not moving an inch until Daddy arrived. Daddy, late getting home from his job down at the Southside Steelworks. It wasn't for a few hours later that Daddy came strolling down the street. By that time, it was long dark, and Neve was as cold as her mama was in the ground. And as Daddy came singing along, joyous tune it was, Neve knew it was no good. No good at all. Daddy had started drinking again. "You're late," said Neve. "Just blowing off some steam with the boys is all," he said. Neve walked Daddy inside 10 minutes to 10, past the room where Harriet tended to her own time, keeping her eye to herself, though clearing her throat loudly enough. Her youngins, who had sat in a corner on the floor all day sewing, were already off to bed as Neve helped Daddy quickly up the stairs to their room, where she quietly locked the door behind them. Daddy's hands were frigid as he sat on the chair with the mended leg. On the floor, Neve had removed his boots to rub his feet warm. Daddy explained what the creaks in his knees meant by their moans as he stood and creaked across the room for the battered wooden bedstead that creaked and groaned as he lay down. "Little bird, pass me my coat, will ya?" he asked. Neve extinguished the lamp before curling up in her bedding on the floor. The uncorking of the bottle Daddy had pulled from his coat was too pronounced in the stillness of the night. And after a few swigs, Daddy started blowing a tune, and Neve once again asked him to tell the story. The story about a slave. One night, the slave was feeling real low in spirit when he heard the cry of a nightbird somewhere outside the window of his shack on the plantation. He listened to its song real hard until sunrise. The sound inspired him so, the slave got himself a piece of cane first thing the next morning and drilled some holes in it. And that bird taught him to sing that reed the next night and the night after that. Daddy blew in the hefty imp bottle, saying, "Seeing I ain't got no panpipe," as he always had, and with that bottle, he blew the same way he had when he taught young Neve the song of the nightbird, night after night. The problem being, that night, that Miss Harriet heard him as well. And that was a problem, seeing no drinking was the deal. Miss Harriet, mother of three very well-behaved youngins who loved to needle knit, but were made to sew sun up to sundown for three hot meals a day. Miss Harriet knew well of Daddy's runs and spells, but had given him a break with Daddy's word, no boozing in the house, and no coming back to the house after any boozing, and she handed over the key, saying, "Doors lock at 10. Any boozing, might as well sleep out in the street till you're good and bright-eyed." Once Daddy was Strutter with the drunkard's tune, Neve opened the curtain that separated the tiny room from her little enclave on the floor. She took the bottle out of his hand, recorked it, and hid it in a basket under some spoiled linens. She lay back down, peering up at the ceiling and beyond the darkness between, somewhere for the skies above, and spoke loud and clear. "I'ma sing loud, Mama. I'ma sing loud and clear. It'll be all right, Mama. You'll see." The dark days of winter, they carried on as more and more nights carried on just that way. Still, for some reason, Miss Harriet said not a word and let Daddy be and daughter, day after day, night after night, even when Daddy would come stumbling home after Frankie's card game, whistling his tune. be it joyous or notes of despair. And Nevaeh always had soup ready for him, soup which Bob but a potato or two, little more. As Daddy was drinking and gambling away all the money he was making down at the steelworks, more oft than not, which lent his whistle a disparaging tune, more oft than not, as those gray days piled up and wore on. But one evening, Nevaeh got fed up, turned off the flame, and went down to Frankie's looking for Daddy. Riled, she walked right into Frankie's with her hands on her hips, where everyone was pleased to see her. After all, it had been so long. Especially for Lionel. Lionel, with a click to his cheek, expressed as much, with the whitening of his penciled-on mustache. "Daddy, it's time to go," said Nevaeh. As Daddy looked up drunk, "Little bird, baby," he said, but with a silent eye, "don't embarrass me in front of the boys now." "Little bird, look at you, darling, done shot up like a bean sprout," said Henry, a kind old soul, as Daddy, hunched over in his chair, returned to his cards. "Remember me, don't ya?" straightening up his suspenders. "Henry," he said. Henry, a round, friendly face. "Hell, I knew you when you was just a little whippersnapper. Knew your mama, too. Oh my, the way your mama..." Well, anyhow, as he caught a glimpse of Nevaeh's sadness, asking, "How old you these days, anyhow?" 14. "Let's go, Daddy." "Pull up a chair," said Frankie. Frankie, holding court at the far end of the table game he hosts every Tuesday and Friday night, mostly a gimmick to sell his own blend of cask whiskey. Nevaeh ignored Frankie, ignored everyone. She jogged her eyeballs back down at Daddy, as Daddy kept his own, nearly closed, to his cards, shuffling them nonsensically. Lionel, to Daddy's right, kicked back in his chair with one leg stretched out like the toothpick that dangled from his lip, saying, "Woo, look at you, feeling in right. Come on over here, baby, let me check you out." "Watch yourself, brother," said Henry, Daddy aloft in a bottle of Frankie's whiskey. "Daddy," she said again, growing intolerant. "Come on now, brother," said Lionel. "You know Nevaeh like a daughter to me." "God forbid you got a daughter," murmured Henry. "Shit, who you fooling?" said Frankie. "Little bird is on the money, fellas." "Getting mighty late," said Henry. 5 a.m. coming mighty early these days," as he slapped down his cards to push back his chair. "You folding? God himself," as the other boys threw down their cards, reaching for bottles, all while Lionel kept a long, steady eye on Nevaeh. Ignoring the crooked grin, "Daddy now," Daddy rocking in his chair. Lionel pushed his luck as he had ran his gaze up and down her young body, saying, "Don't know about you boys, but I got a half pint sitting here," with a click of the cheek. "Well, I best be getting myself," said Henry. "Done took all your money anyhow," said Lionel. "Daddy's too," with a grim laugh that turned Nevaeh's stomach sideways. She crossed her arms, releasing her pursed lips to say, "Daddy, I ain't leaving without you." Daddy, head bobbing. "What's up, baby?" as Lionel asked. "Why the hot foot? Go on, take a seat," he said as he patted his thigh. "I don't bite." "Why don't you chill, brother?" said Henry, and then kindly toward Nevaeh. "Come on, little bird, let's get Daddy home. I'll give you a hand." Lionel, glaring eyes as excited as all get out, as Nevaeh glared right back at him with disgust. And with another click of the cheek, "What a shame." "Why don't you close your head?" snapped Nevaeh. "Just ignore that fool," said Henry, about Lionel with his shaky leg, as Nevaeh shook him off and turned away. Lionel, with another click of the cheek, took a swig off a bottle and called out, "Ooh-wee," as Henry Nevaeh helped Daddy to his feet. "Nighty night, little bird. Come on back real soon and see me now, you hear?" Shooting a kiss as Daddy looked back quickly like he had just awoken from a dream. Daddy lunged toward Lionel, but tripped and fell over his chair onto the table, scattering poker chips and bottles, clattering across the floor. And by the time Henry had him by the arm and back on his feet, Daddy had done forgotten what he was after in the first place. "Rat-a-tat-tat," said Lionel. "Throw a dog a bone," as Nevaeh slammed the door shut behind her, and Daddy slipped on the icy steps, taking Henry down with him. Daddy, 6'2", shrunk to 5'3", sitting on the edge of the bed. He lost a week's pay to the man with that damn smile below that razor-thin mustache, slicing the devilish grin that spread wide across the back of Neve's mind. Neve had been through this all before, the bobbling head and the pain behind those lost eyes. It scared Neve to listen when he got sick. She'd cover her ears and avoid his yellow eyes. But that next evening, as Neve waited anxiously on the stoop, Daddy came home right on time, strolling up with a loaf and some cheese, not a scent of liquor on his breath. As they broke bread, Neve told herself, as she always had, "Daddy a good man." "You know, baby, was thinking," said Daddy. "Ain't gonna be going down to Frankie's no more." "Really, Daddy?" Neve asked with a broad smile. "And I worked something out with Miss Harriet, seeing we can keep the room while I save up some. Was thinking we might get out of here. Anywhere you want to go, little bird." Before pausing, realizing what he had just said. And Neve realizing that Harriet had kept her word and had finally put her foot down. And wrapping his large hand around hers, he continued down his unlikely path. "That's right, baby. Anywhere you want to go." Neve looked up at Daddy, wanting to say anywhere. Anywhere but here. Anywhere but this damned block. But she caught her tongue and thought for a moment with her eyes squeezed tightly shut. And thinking of Mama, said in upspeak, "New Orleans?" with a mischievous grin. "Anywhere else, baby?" he asked, mind carried away by a long, murky river. Neve thought again for a place far, far away, as Daddy jumped to his feet and snapped his fingers. "Wherever we go, just you and me, baby," he said. "That's right, Daddy," she said, arms tight around his waist. "You and me. Daddy a good man, the best she ever knew." One Sunday, Neve, tidying up the place real nice, said aloud, "It's important to keep things tidy, to show appreciation. We don't want to wear out our welcome now. We got to be grateful to those who show a bit of mercy in life." "That's right, baby," said Daddy. "But how about you get back to that and we take a walk in the park? It's a mighty fine day." Neve, smiling, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. A mighty fine day. Cold, but the sky was finally spring water blue. Knowing the coffee can was half full, Neve had never been so excited. Though both their waistlines had thinned, she could not stop talking about the ocean, asking, "How blue is the ocean, Daddy?" Daddy smiled as they strolled, saying, "I ain't never seen the ocean, baby. But I guess it's as blue as that there sky." When a chill wind blew off the lake, shivering Neve despite the warm sun rays. "Daddy, did Mama ever see the ocean?" "No, baby. But she loved that river," lifting Neve onto a short marble wall so she could get the full sun. Daddy looked up at the sky. "See, baby, all you needed was a little sun," as he removed his coat and wrapped it around her before returning his gaze to the sky. "Mighty fine day indeed." "Daddy, you're gonna catch a cold," said Neve as Daddy led into a harsh cough, only recovering to seem suddenly lost in a darkening dream as the corners of his smile dropped. "You all right, Daddy?" "Yeah, baby, just something in my throat," he said without returning his gaze to the sky. "Merry Christmas, Daddy." "Merry Christmas, little bird." Harriet had given Daddy something in a brown bottle for his cough, and Neve heard Daddy mumbling to himself in bed as she curled up tight in her blanket on the floor. But knowing he hadn't had a drop of drink, she thought little of it, as it was January 17th. January 17th, the beginning of the Prohibition era, as the nation went bone dry overnight, intending to improve, even ennoble, the lives of all Americans, to protect individuals, families, and society at large from the devastating effects of alcohol abuse, shuttering breweries, saloons, and distilleries indefinitely and for all time. But 2 days later, that enshrining of a faith-driven moral code upon the law of the land had already paradoxically begun to cause millions of Americans to rethink their definition of morality. And that was the day Frankie's Whiskey Blend became Frankie's Bootleg Whiskey. Nevaeh, singing quietly to calm her nerves, glancing up anxiously at every quick shadow that passed, long after Harriet begged her to come on in out of the cold and knit with her young'uns. Nevaeh refused, as she was not going anywhere, not without Daddy. Just me and you, Daddy. You'll be along any minute now, she told herself long after the sun had set. Another shadow was cast off by the approaching gas lantern of some old man. You ain't Daddy, she grumbled, jumping to her feet with a growl and the stomp of a foot. Down at Frankie's, the boys circled the table as they always had on Tuesday nights. The hungry dog in the corner thrilled ear to ear to see Nevaeh as she burst into the room. Nevaeh saw his leg bouncing through the thick cigar smoke, but did not see Daddy anywhere, asking, Where is Daddy? Ain't seen him some weeks now, said Frankie, eyes to his cards. Tell him to stop on by sometime. Yeah, he owes me five. Take the rest of that stack. Nevaeh took a quick look around the table for Henry's friendly face. Henry's friendly face, nowhere to be seen. The vibe, off. Lionel looked her up and down as he pulled out Henry's empty seat to say, Go on, take a seat. I gotta find Daddy, she said. Come to think of it, said Lionel with a click of the cheek. I got an idea where Daddy might be. Where is he? She asked. Where is Daddy? Tell you what, I'll show you, he said, dropping his cards to stand. Ain't got shit anyway. You ain't never got shit. Nevaeh stepped away as Lionel made his way past her out the door. Wanna find your daddy or what? And with a pound to the table, 10JQKA, read him and weep, suckers. What you got to say now? The boys swept up in their game, as Nevaeh felt she had no choice but to follow Lionel up the stairs and outside to the street, where he said, Don't you worry, little bird. We're gonna find Daddy. It was Chicago cold, and Nevaeh shivered in a breeze that cut right through her bones. Lionel tried to put his arm around her, saying, You need a good warm coat, baby. I can buy you one if Daddy can't. Nevaeh pulled away, asking, Where are we going? As Lionel sidestepped into an alleyway and pointed down the way into the darkness. Daddy right down there in that stoop, he said, as Nevaeh squinted to see what must have been a stoop down the way. Come on, he said, walking on. Daddy ain't always at Frankie's, baby. I'll tell you that. That daddy of yours need to step up, keep a better eye on you. If you was my baby girl. As Nevaeh turned and ran and never looked back. A rooster's crow. Nevaeh awoke in Daddy's bed, and though she had trouble opening her eyes, she scanned the room for Daddy to see his shoes were still gone. So she hurried down the stairs at pre-dawn, past Harriet and the youngins eating hot grits and toast, and out the door with no coat. Harriet shouted after her, but she was already down the block. She crossed the neighborhood, panicked and numb to the devilish cold. It had been one of those nights bums freeze to the sidewalk. Lips blue, shoes stolen, toes blue. She tried not to look as she passed a bum on a stoop, foolishly hoping he was only fast asleep. She walked on in a sprint, and twice, three times a block, she hollered for Daddy. The few people on the street she did pass gave her a look like she was right out of her mind, scurrying over the ice-cold pavers with wild eyes. She ran about the block, the next, the one after the next, and the one after that, head right to left, one foot before the other, scouring the black belt until the sun began to rise. 12 blocks on, 4 back, 6 to the right, and 7 to the left, Nevaeh bounced back and forth like a mad pinball. Between 34th, Wabash, 31st, and Michigan, only to hurry back down 47th, right back the way she had come, or so she thought. By now, she had done lost herself in her own black ghetto, and she might as well have spun around twice and headed back any which way, because for God's sake, where are you, Daddy? she squeezed out between her grinding teeth just as she passed an alleyway just past Ed's meat market, where a sharp light caught the corner of her eye. She came to a halt. Though sure, she had just seen yet another pair of legs sprawled out by a trash bin. And Daddy ain't no bum. But for some reason, nonetheless, that something sharp had broken her frantic pace. Slowly, she took a single step back to see a man leaning into a wall in a half shade down the way. Neve approached cautiously. The man's face was drooped under a hat, but she looked long enough to tell his lips were blue. But maybe just passed out drunk, she hoped with the foolish half of her brain, knowing it was just another bum. And Daddy ain't no bum. That sharp something that had caught her eye, a gleam of sunlight shining off a brown half-pint bottle. Miss Harriet had given Daddy a bottle just like it, medicine for his cough, prescribed, government-stamped, and bottled in bond. 100 proof. 2 spoonfuls every 4 hours, no less, no more. Neve took a half step closer to examine the hands spilled out upon the pavers. Nails, blue, and just out of reach of the bottle that had caught her eye. And then another, another and another and another, a baker's dozen scattered about, just out of reach, and yet another. Bottles, brown. Thumb, blue. Daddy's thumb ain't blue, as she took a step closer. And oddly enough, Neve decided to tidy up, gathering the bottles, all while talking to the passed out bum. You know, you really shouldn't just throw things around like this. We need to keep things clean, as she placed them in a trash bin. And gathering more. It's important to keep things tidy. To show our appreciation, we don't want to wear out our welcome now. We gotta be grateful to those who show a bit of mercy in life. As a streak of morning sun slowly guided across the bum's face in the side of her eye, his cheeks gaining a bit of color. She paused to keep that color closer to the center of her eye, but not entirely. There you go. Feel that? All you needed was a little sun. But the color faded as the sun dragged on across the alley. You know you can catch a cold sleeping out here like this. You should sleep in your warm bed at home with your family. Shivering and stepping in closer, but just a bit. You ain't cold, mister? I know I sure am. Sliding down the wall at his side. Slowly leaning against his shoulder. You know, you could be at home right now eating a warm bowl of soup. She snuggled up, a tear running down her cheek. And as she began to cry, through her choked tears. Daddy, you ain't no bum. You sure ain't no bum. Daddy, a good man, the best man she ever knew.